Welcome to the Divorce Devil Podcast, a show tailor-made for those stepping out of the divorce recovery space. Follow your hosts, David and Rachel, as they dive into the all-too-familiar shitstorm of the more-than-interesting end-of-the-road divorce topics, stories, and discussions. While realizing it can be a trying stage, they have been where you are and understand the struggle. And yes, the struggle is real. They know that recovery can be such a clusterfuck. Check out the podcast if you feel like you're juggling chainsaws, then strap in and hold on for some honesty, authenticity, and hard-in-your-face irrefutable truths. This innovative podcast is not for the faint-hearted, so if you can't handle the certain truths, just keep it moving. If you can, welcome to the show.
Welcome, everybody, out there to Divorce Devil, episode 174. Today, we're going to wing it. Wing that bitch.
Wing it.
Today, we're talking about...
up with the topic in like...
like
just because I talked
two minutes ago. And it's about what?
Second timers.
Not just divorce. We're talking long-term relationships. Second timers subtitled, are you the problem?
Or is your picker?
Yeah.
Picker.
Pickle, if your picker's bad. So poodle. take us into this podcast, Rachel.
So in not having a topic today, and you know, we are have a guest next week, so I've been reading up on that.
About loneliness.
About yes. Divorce loneliness is something that I don't think people realize the depths of it. But this week, we didn't have a topic, and we kind of just brainstormed right before. And a lot of times when I just talk to people who are going through divorce, have been in a divorce in the last week, and, you know, a lot of people had either, like, a first long-term relationship, whether it was, you know, we didn't get married and we were together for 10 years, or we got married and we're only married for a little bit of time as in like an annulment, or, you know, they've had two divorces or they've had two really bad long-term relationships that didn't have, you know, the marriage license involved. But I think too, when coming up with the topic, I feel like the commonality of it was, am I the problem?
Even if you're the first time divorced, you need to listen to this episode.
Yeah, because I think when we think divorce and someone starts telling you their story, depending on your relationship with that person mm-hmm. that is going through the divorce, like if you know the couple and you know both of them, then you're stuck in the middle trying to figure out, you know, whose truth do you believe more or who's more of your friend? And, you know, you never liked him anyway, or she was always a bitch, or you only liked her because she was your husband's friend's wife. You know, so there's a lot of relationships
nuances
and dynamics of relationships of how you go, oh, I believe her no matter what. I believe her. She's never lied to me. Well, she could have lied. Mm-hmm. You don't know. Or she could have turned over a new leaf and changed her life or whatever. But I think a lot of it is like, I have met just in the last couple months, multiple people who have had one or two divorces or one really long relationship and then a divorce, or divorce and then a really long relationship that thought was going to be your life partner. And they're now going through a separation that's just as equally painful as a divorce, but there's no papers to sign. Yeah. There's cars to split. There's properties to split. There's still all the things that go
animals.
On. Yeah. We're
toasters.
Not cutting the dog in half, people.
Toasters.
Someone's getting a new puppy. Yeah. So I think when do we look to ourselves and you go, you know what? I might have been not 100% in my marriage going, oh, it's not my fault. It's not my fault. I may not know that I'm a narcissist. I may not know because my parents were. And so if what you were modeling was narcissism mm-hmm. and you're like, well, that's how my parents were and they were married until they died. Well, that doesn't mean they had a great relationship.
Correct.
That doesn't mean that they did it the right way. And what worked for them may not work for you. And I think there's a lot of guilt in, you know, oh, this is my second divorce, or this is my second long-term relationship, and no one wants to marry me. Or, you know, I think there's a lot of people out there going, what the fuck? Or there are, I have met people like, I'm taking my spot in it. I'm taking my space in it. You know, I work with a lot of people who are in the military, and a lot of divorce happens when the other person's deployed because they can't live that lifestyle, or they didn't want to be a single parent, or they didn't know what the military life meant. Were they willing to you know, uproot their job because their spouse is in the military. Well, no, I don't want to do that. I want to set roots somewhere, but you can't because you're in the military. And so if you're on a second long-term relationship or divorce and a long-term relationship or two divorces, I think you really need to take a moment and be like...
And self-retrospect.
Yeah. And I don't think we fully heal until we take our part in it. And I say that a lot. Take your stake in it, because it takes two people.
Yeah.
Anytime you have a one-sided relationship, someone's not happy. And when that unhappy person goes, oh, by the way, I want a divorce. And you're like, blindsided. Well, no. You know... where did it fall apart? And if you're not willing to dive into that, then...
So this podcast, we want to do a disclaimer. This is not about blaming people.
No.
This is more about fixing people or fix themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't... And again, just because you've had two marriages doesn't mean that you're bad at relationships. You may not know or been taught how to be in a healthy relationship. Yeah. Like if your parents... You know, my parents fought all the time. So I thought when you fight, you love each other, because if you didn't fight, you didn't care, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're not fighting for that other person constantly, you must not care about
them. And you didn't realize how dysfunctional that was.
Yeah. And so the calm scared me. The calm was like, why isn't he fighting for me? Why doesn't he want, like, why isn't he making more of a big deal about me? Why isn't he doing that? Or why isn't he angry that I'm going out with my friends? Or why doesn't he do this? Why doesn't he want to come with me? Or why doesn't, you know? So a lot of my relationship things, I had to erase any memories I had of a relationship, because, you know, my parental relationship, it wasn't great.
Mm-hmm.
My dad was married four times too. So like, I'm pretty sure it was a bored factor. I think I also learned that once you're done with it, just it's easy. It's fine. It's go.
Let's get somebody else.
And
next.
Yeah. Sorry. Next. Yeah. Next. And then, you know, I was in my marriage for 24 years, but I don't think I was seen or heard. And when you wake up and you have that moment of go, oh wait, I'm the only person of me that can be number one because I'm only me. I can't put person next to me, number one, because I don't have their heart, their lungs, or all their body makeup. And why would I prioritize other people before myself if I want to give you 100% of myself?
And I know that's part of the problem, that we don't prioritize ourselves in any relationship, because if we don't take care of ourselves, we can't take care of others. So I think that has like a blowback factor on relationships.
Yeah.
Where it's almost like a aha moment. It's like, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. I need to take care of me. I'm taking care of the kids, taking care of the husband, taking care of the dog, and I need a minute from me. Mm-hmm. But when you take that minute, all hell breaks loose.
Yeah. Well, and I think too, you know, one of the commonalities that I heard a lot, you know, lately is I asked to go to therapy. I asked him to work it out. I asked her to do this. I would ask her to go on a date, and it was always, she was always too busy with work or had something else, and her priority wasn't me or it was the kids. And, you know, when you feel like you're not part of that group, that family, that structure, you're like, well, why am I here? They're doing it without me anyway, you know, or when do I get to be first? And if you're fighting for first all the time, that's exhausting. You shouldn't have to fight for first for anybody. Should you already be first with yourself?
Correct.
And, you know, one of my things I says, it took a relationship that both people are their own individual identity to come together to be like, hey, I want you. I don't necessarily need you, because I can take care of myself. I can pay my bills. Mm-hmm. I have my stuff together. But I want to be in this. And I think we get mixed up is like, I need someone else to make me happy. No, you need to make you happy.
Happiness comes from within.
And your wants and desires will come through when you give 100. Because you're a different person when you're like, I'm awesome. I rock. And you may not believe it all the time. You may have to fake it till you make it.
Yep.
But eventually that light switch goes off and you're like, you know what? I'm pretty awesome. I do great things.
I'm pretty awesome in this moment.
Yeah.
What I'm dealing
with. And 5 seconds from now, you might have a nervous breakdown. But
right this minute, I'm freaking awesome.
Striving to make yourself the most important thing in your life. And it sounds simple. But when you're hurting as bad as you are going through a divorce, especially a second one, people are like, oh, she's been divorced twice. It's probably her.
Another thing is I did a podcast yesterday with this lawyer out of Atlanta last night named Sarah. And she said one of the key things is men and women is that they over-guilt. Mm-hmm. So they take that guilt from that relationship. You know, something happens. There's something they feel guilty about, mm-hmm. and they over-guilt, and they concentrate on the guilt, and they don't take care of themselves. You know, it kind of takes away from self-care. You know, guilt is huge.
Well, the guilt can enable you.
Yeah, yeah. Guilt is huge.
I'm going through a divorce.
Yep.
You should feel bad that I feel this sad. And it's okay for me to feel this sad because I'm going through a divorce.
And there's so many tentacles of guilt. Yeah. It can pull it. Yeah, it just keeps going around and around.
Well,
so she says you need to recognize that guilt and let that guilt go. And it's so hard to let that guilt go.
Especially if you have anger and sadness and loneliness.
Because you want to wallow in that cesspool of guilt because you want – it's almost like an affirmation of why you feel bad. Mm-hmm. So this guilt and it's like quicksand. You know, they pull you in.
Well, and it affects every aspect of your life. Like, think about, I can remember going to work, staying in my car long enough to dry the tears with the vent in the car going, okay, I'll just drop Logan off. I got to go in a second. Let me get my things off, you know, my face together. And I get in there and someone's like, you okay? And then sobbing again. Was I productive that day? Maybe a couple minutes.
Heck yeah. You showed up.
I got there,
but each time I got there was less tears.
Yep. Each time I got there, I was able to say I'm okay, or you know, I didn't cry in my corner or whatever.
You know, I'm going to say that you're going to throw the guilt away immediately, but just try to table that guilt. Hey, let me work on this, work on that.
And again, that goes to if you are guilty, say you had an affair and you're guilty that you broke up your marriage and now you feel like you have nothing. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. You had an affair. I'm not giving you an excuse, for a reason, for something was missing. You felt that you were whatever. Or you're selfish and a narcissist and you just want to control and you think you could do whatever you want. But
even then, you can recover.
But here's the thing.
As long as you realize
you also may not have learned how to not be selfish. You also may not have had a great relationship growing up. You may not have had a great relationship with your mom or your dad or your siblings or whatever. And that all turns into other relationships. If they're not healthy, how can you have a healthy love relationship to a stranger? Right?
Correct.
Someone you just met. So I think when we're talking about two divorces, the guilt from all of it can be exponential. But you learn from it a little bit. You've probably healed a little from that first with the new person. You know, everything was great and loving, and then they switched, right? They turned.
And then everything comes back like a wildfire.
I think the guilt would be, again, I haven't had that, so I don't know. But I think it would be look at that. I can't have a fucking relationship. Yep. No one loves me. No one likes my baggage. It's all my fault. Da, da, da. And I'm definitely an inward guilter. I'm like,
inward guilter.
It's me.
I like that.
IG. I blame it all on me.
Are you an IG, baby?
I'm an IG.
I'm an OG.
You OG.
Outward guilter. Yeah. Outward guilter.
We copyright all these
things. Oh, yeah.
No, so I feel like I always put more blame on myself than I probably need because if I can take that hurt and be like, well, it's probably your fault. You probably did it.
Mm-hmm.
Once that flip switches, and I go, you know what? I wasn't the problem. Or, you know, I worked through my shit and you're still guilty of that shit. So I'm better. I'm awesomer.
It's like, oh.
Yeah. And I think my whole goal, you know, now is not to be like, oh, she's divorced. It's to be she's healed.
Yep.
She's learned. She's grown. She's ascended to whatever's next. I have helped other people. I have, you know, made a stake in this world. I may not be, you know, famous, but my fame is with people that know my character, know who I am. They know I'm divorced, but that's not how they would describe me, right? They won't, you know,
correct.
My 50th birthday is coming up. If someone said, hey, she's this, 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 and that, she's divorced. That's not going to be in there.
Mm-mm.
She may say, hey, you know, I met her when Jerry and her were married and blah, blah, blah.
It doesn't define you.
Yeah.
It does not define you.
It was part of my life. It happened. I've worked through it. There's still times I'm like, ah, fuck. You know, and I deal with him every day because I have a 13-year-old with him. So I think, and you know, anytime we repeat something and it doesn't work out, we're like, I'm fucking crazy. It's me. I'm the bad guy. I must be bad at picking the people who are supposed to care about me, because obviously my thing always goes back to the people who cared about me didn't really like prepare me for relationships. I was only like, I am not doing that. Now, some of it was great, but I never saw the great. I saw the fighting, the arguing, and the, you know, running into trees with the cars and throwing shit in the fire and, you know, crazy. Alcoholic, just
banter.
So
what are some of the things that people can do to lessen that guilt or lessen that blame? Give me some things they can do.
Therapy.
Get yourself some help. Yeah.
Take time every day. There are 24 hours in a day. How many minutes in a day? I don't even know.
I think you want to journal. Like someone told me once, sit down in the morning when you wake up and write down five things that you're thankful for.
It might have been me.
Yeah. I think it was you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Journal and girl. Then, journal girl. JG.
And even in the morning.
JG.
I always like to journal, especially if I have a dream or something like that, because a lot of times those little messages will come out through your day. You'll be like, oh, yeah, I used to have, like a really good
one. I've never journaled.
In there?
Not once.
Faker.
I know.
You're the problem.
I know. I'm the problem. You. Well, I don't journal, but I do write ideas down.
No, you don't journal. Yeah. You blog, though. So that's kind of like journaling.
Yeah, it is. Okay, there we go.
So that's journaling.
I do journal. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Have a nice day.
Because I was ready to call you out.
Yeah, I know.
Fucker.
Can we call me Faker?
Faker?
Faking journaling.
Yeah. I was going to recite a T. Swift song, but I don't know any right now.
Oh, journaling.
Thanks, Amy. Thank you, Amy.
White House?
No. Taylor Swift called out Kim Kardashian in her last
God. Seriously.
But anyway, so.
Go Chiefs. I'm sorry, what?
Taylor Swift's boyfriend. But no, I think in life, we feel guilty about a lot of things that we think are mistakes, but most mistakes are how we learn. So eventually it becomes that experience that changed our perception of something. Like, you know, especially in our society, you're either left, right, there's no center. There's no center. You Correct. Can't live in the middle, because then you're not picking a side. And then you're just like, oh, you're just blah, blah, blah. You don't really know the facts and you're not educated and da, da, da. So everybody has an opinion about something. And if you're not speaking their opinion, they don't agree. Right?
Yep.
So when it comes to you, figure out what your problem are. Like, I know my problems. I am a fucking squirrel. Sometimes I forget shit. If you text me, I read your text. I think I text you back. And then I go in there like, oh, look at that comment sitting in there without the
I'm trying to think of my problems. I think I overthink things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And mine is always, they're going to leave me.
Mine is I can't turn my brain off.
Yeah.
My brain just goes constantly. It's just go, go, go. Middle of the night, I'll get up and get on the phone. It's like, okay, let me write this idea down.
Yeah. Mine is I never can complete a thought because there's 17 other thoughts that come into it. And that relates to something else.
So they fight for position?
Yeah.
Kind of like sperm.
I'm the fastest swimmer. You are too.
You're the sperm thinker.
Yeah. We're all the fastest swimmers. But no, I think too, like, I always feel like I have to prove to people that I'm smart because I have this bubbly personality. Oh, yeah. It's a thing.
What?
You know, and I feel like people are like, oh, she's a school nurse. She couldn't make it in the real world, because that's a lot of the stigma that goes on.
But don't they know you're smart? You're a nurse.
I know, but I think people think that if you become a school nurse, you couldn't make it in the hospital. You couldn't make it in a specialty.
What?
But I've done all that.
People don't think that far. Now, people are dumb. They don't think that far. They're not thinking about the school nurse.
And again, that's my problem. I think I have to prove myself to others because my whole
life. Next podcast, let that shit go, Rachel.
Well, my whole life I've had to be like, I'm good enough. I'm worthy. I'm this.
But you are.
And so.
I wouldn't be hanging out with you when you were like a flubby dubby. Flubby dubby.
Well, there you go.
There's a compliment there somewhere. I don't hang out with flubby dubbies.
No, but like, that's one of my issues is I have to prove I'm good enough for you. But no, I have to prove to myself that I'm doing what I'm supposed to. I'm where I'm supposed to. This is the life that I'm supposed to be
that's
in.
That's why we work, because you worry about that shit. I don't worry about shit.
Well, I'm not 60 either.
Oh, wow. So old people don't worry about shit.
I heard once you turn 50, you get this new like badge. You're allowed to say whatever the fuck you want. And once you're 60,
you don't care about shit.
You don't care, even if you say shit. You're just hoping you don't shit your pants.
And then having a stroke, too, is like even a little bit higher.
Then you're like, God. Oh, didn't shit my pants today. My left and right side work. Good for me. I can see.
Thank God I got that rear view mirror.
Optics embarrassing. Optics. Oh. But yeah, no. So one of my things that I try to work on is like, you don't have to prove yourself to anybody.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Fuck them. Fuck them.
And it's not even that I am competing or doing.
Next time you feel that way, call me. I will talk you off the ledge.
This is David on the phone.
Fuck them people.
No, and it's not that I have to prove myself, but I think sometimes because I'm silly and goofy and ADHD and, you know, leave all my things all over the place, and then I'm like, Lord, you know, my sunglasses are on my head, like, oh, they're right there, you know. I think that people think I'm ditzy, but I'm smart when I need. I am on when I need to, but life is too short to not make funny or be humorous or do something that breaks the ice. But, we have 17.
But how can you? Well, I could see that.
Yeah,
that's an age thing. You know, once you get sageness that I have or older people have, you don't care about that shit.
I thought you meant like burning sage. And like cleaning out the room. See, that's my brain. Okay, so here's my brain. Last night, I've been chaperoning for this In Harmony's Children's Choir Festival down in Pikes Peak for the last 3 days. So last night, I was driving home after the performance. It's like 10:15 at night, and there's a car behind me. Now, my son and I love animated movies. He's 13. That's our thing. Like, we love watching animated movies. Mm-hmm. So one of his favorite movies growing up was How to Train Your Dragon. I look behind me, and fucking Toothless, the dragon, is driving behind me with his bright eyes. Nissan Rogue's headlights look like Toothless from How to Train Your Dragon.
I'm sorry, people.
You are welcome.
I'm sorry, people.
And I'm like, I've either fallen asleep driving and can't wake up, or there's a dragon behind me trying to get me home so I don't crash because I'm so tired.
I'm sorry, people. We'll get back to the program here shortly.
Sponsored by How to Train Your Dragon. Sponsored by
How to Train Your Dragon and a Nissan Rogue. Damn Nissan Rogue. Bitch lips.
So, yeah, see, that's where my brain is. So people are like, what the fuck?
Turn it off.
But I know I passed my boards. I did really good in school.
That should be enough.
In our lives, I think, though, we always want to be perceived as good enough.
No, not anymore.
But you're old and you shit your pants. Okay.
Don't tell people I shit my pants. It's just a fart.
Never trust a fart.
But no. I'm at that age where I can still trust them, but it's okay.
Yeah, and I think as I'm getting older, I, in my own head, don't do that as much. But like if someone comes up to me and I start talking about the glycemic index and I tell them it in like normal layman's terms without saying like all these crazy words that are in Latin, and they're like, oh, I really understand that. I get it. And I'm like, you made that sound easy. I'm like, yeah, because I need to explain it to people who aren't in the medical field, kids. Oh, by the way, if you don't have snacks in the morning and you're hypoglycemic, what the hell does that mean? If you don't eat in the morning, you will have no energy by the time it's 8 o'clock.
There you go. You know? You're smart, Rachel.
So if I'm explaining it to an adult, I try to explain it like you're a third grader because it's general.
Keep talking.
And if I explain it to a kindergartner and go, okay, well, you need to eat because your body needs, you know, fuel and all the things. I can explain the technical terms of it, but in my head, I'm like, people don't think you're smart because you're a school nurse and you work with elementary kids and it's a fluff job and it's this and it's that. I have to give myself more credit. And I think when you're in a second marriage, David left some by myself, so I could talk about anything and he wouldn't know until he goes to edit it. You know, he doesn't shit his pants, but we don't know that because, you know, he is over 60. If you're in a second marriage and now you're contemplating divorce, you may not get out of that marriage fast enough if it's not conducive to your lifestyle. If it's abusive, it's controlling. If you're not where you thought you were going to be, you know, you need to make time for you and you need to make sure that you are the most important thing in your life. And I keep saying that because a lot of women, I can't speak for men, that I've talked to lately are like, where are all the good humans at? Like, I've been on this many dates and every one of them does not want a second date because I've had two divorces or I've had two long-term marriages or two long-term relationships that didn't work out. And maybe I'm the problem. And I says, well, maybe you are. And they're like, what? And I'm like, no, maybe your problem is you're not putting yourself as a priority. And you're like, I just need to date because I'm lonely. I just need to date because, you know, I don't feel whole without somebody else. And
don't show your date.
Yeah. And well, serial dating a little bit, you know, in a little frame of time.
Damn.
You also need to work on what you want, like your boundaries and what your expectations of a partner are.
So then what's your main, closing out today, what's your main focus today? So we talked about second timers. Mm-hmm. We talked about guilt. Guilt was the big one.
Mm-hmm.
Blame.
Yeah.
Blame.
Well, and if you're leaving a second marriage, or maybe a third, because we know some people that have had three or four, mm-hmm. My dad included, if you're leaving that, you really have to look in the mirror and go, what am I doing wrong? And stop blaming other people.
Oh, hell yeah.
And if the blame is you keep picking someone that cheats on you, you're not putting yourself as a priority. You're deciding that I'm going to accept someone stepping out of my marriage. I'm deciding that I'm not the most important thing in my marriage. And this marriage is between two people, right?
Yep.
And so if you're coming out of divorce number two or long-term relationship number two, take a pause.
Pause for the cause.
Pause for the cause. Pause, and it may be a week that you need some penis or some vagina. But pause. Enough time pause. To be like, what's going on?
Yep.
Like,
let me do a self-reflection.
What's my traumas? Yes. What's my triggers? What did I learn from my past relationships? What was my childhood like? A lot of our issues that
why
we have today.
Why have I been married
and
four
this
times?
This is redundant. Yep. A lot of our issues we have today are from childhood. And we're not saying our parents were terrible. I mean, some were great. Some just didn't know how to parent. Some didn't have parents. You know, our generation, your generation, the dads worked, the moms stayed home. There's a different world now. Both parents have to work because of inflation, all the things that are happening. So take a pause. Figure out what you really like.
Yep.
Maybe the type that you're picking isn't what you really like, but it's all you know. Maybe, you know, I had like the same brand jeans for how many years, and then they stopped making them, and I had to find a new one. It took me a long time to find a pair that, like, fit me in all the right places. And now I'm loyal to that, but the experience of going, nope, don't like how those fit. Don't like how that works. You know, the button, I don't like button flies. I like the zipper. I don't like the high-waisted. I like the low-waisted. So there's a lot of things that go into getting out of that second marriage. And that second divorce, I mean, I don't know what it's like, and I can't imagine. But you have to work on all the things that from the previous marriage that are going to come up now.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're like, well, I did that again.
There we go.
And then you get that cynical part. If you're going through two, you're like, everybody fucking sucks. I'm the best. It's me. I'm not the problem. I just, you know, I'm done. Every man is terrible. Every woman is this.
I roll this.
Yeah.
It's my shit.
So,
well, thank you, Rachel, for that impromptu podcast. So, that was interesting.
Yeah.
We pulled that out of our ass.
Don't be an inner guilter.
Yep. Be an outer guilter.
Build an outer guilter.
Let the guilt
bend it
go.
All out. Get it out. The less you keep inside. Tell your story. Tell your story to someone. Yep. That's what happens a lot of times. Someone will come up to me like, oh, I'm going through da da da, and I'm like, oh, well, I went through that too, and I have a podcast about divorce, and, you know, started episode 47 because it's funny.
And then 74.
And then 74.
Yep.
And a good year. So find your space in it. Take some blame. You know, it's okay to take some blame. It's okay to say you're sorry.
Yep.
They don't have to accept it. I forgive you. I give no fucks.
It's okay to be wrong.
It is okay to be wrong. Yeah. And we make mistakes as humans. And once you go through it, I think you're a better person once you realize, like, you know, I did that. I caused that. It's my fault. And it doesn't have to be the end of the world.
I hear you.
It's just the end of that marriage.
All right, Rachel. So, well, that's Rachel.
She did a great job.
And she did a great job.
I'm awesome.
She's awesome. I don't know why she doesn't run.
I am funny.
I don't know why she don't run this shit by herself. That's okay. All right, everybody, have a good night.
Needs to do all the work.
Bye bye.
Yeah. Love you. Bye.